Mrs. Sylvie Schatz is going to be speaking now, giving us an in-depth look at Birchot HaShachar. Mrs. Schatz grew up in Paris and studied for 3 years at the Gatehead Seminary, during which she obtained a bachelor's degree in literature and a master's degree in history. She taught Limudei Kodesh in France and then made Aliyah a few years later, and she teaches really on every single Torah topic you can imagine. Any topic you want to ask her to teach, she can just do it, in three different languages, English, Hebrew, and French, in many different seminaries. And she also, very important, teaches a weekly class on Tomer Dvorah at the OU Israel Center. If you look at your other page, it's not the short sources that we have, you'll see her weekly class. I really encourage every single one of you to try it out. I want Mrs. Schatz to explain to us a little bit, just either at the end or the beginning, a little bit about Tomer Dvorah, just so people understand what that is. I think it will definitely be worth your while. Thank you.
Zamira said something which moved me so much. Halevai, 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 I would be an expert in tefillah. You know, it's something special to be an expert in tefillah. What's bizarre, said, but normal, it's human nature, is that if one has more tzoros, more tzarot, one is a bigger expert in tefillah. And we'll see that when we're going to speak about everyone is going to say something about what she felt about tefillah, when somebody had a difficult experience, her tefillah was better. The goal is to arrive to a point where we're happy and our tefillah is wonderful because we're happy. The famous story of the man who was crying and crying and crying at the Kotel. He was crying so much that the person behind couldn't take it anymore and said, Hashem, answer him already. And he went over to him and he said, can I help you? And I make a long story short because that's not our subject. And the man said, no, you can't help me. I called Beseder, everything is fine. I just married off my last child last night. So I'm crying from joy and from thankfulness and everything. And this leads us to the concept of Hakarat HaTov, gratitude, which is mainly the subject of tefillah. I'll just begin with something else for a moment. If somebody doesn't understand, I heard that some people have difficulty with my accent. So if you don't understand, please don't be shy. Just ask again. Chas v'shalom that I should be misunderstood. It's not halacha, so it's not the end of the world. But if you want to ask, don't hesitate, okay? So lehit palel, as you know in grammar, is always a reflexive form. Pei lamed lamed is to judge, to make a cheshbon hanefesh, to divide things, to try to understand, havdalah. And lehit palel, nobody is polel. Nobody was polel this morning. People were mit palel. So it's a beautiful idea that tefillah is getting back close to yourself in the crazy world that we're living, especially lately with all the technology and everything. We find ourselves not even having time for a minute to think. The famous story of Rabbi Twersky, who writes that when he began, Dr. Rabbi Avraham Twersky, big, big psychiatrist, who when he was studying to become a doctor, he was asked to go in a bath for 20, he writes it in one of his introductions, he was asked to go in a bath for 25 minutes without any gadgets and everything, and to think. And after 10 minutes, he got out of the bath and he said, I did all the work. No, that's not what we asked you to do. 25 minutes and 3-4 times till he succeeded. And this is a long time ago. People can't be with themselves. They have to do something. They have to... Tefillah is saving us from this rat race. Even once a day, even twice a day, just a few minutes with oneself, lehit palel, to be with oneself, saves us from what we call, you know, morning, afternoon, evening, running, taking a paper, not even reading it, opening the television, not even looking at it, and going to sleep to be able to. I have friends who work like crazy to be able to go when they'll be on pension, on holiday, or when they'll this, or when they'll that. And tefillah is saving us from this. So just technically, it's already kedai, it's already worthwhile to learn about tefillah, because the way to daven better is by davening. The way to daven better is by learning about tefillah. So many people say, you have such a chance, you have such a mazal, you know to daven, you like to daven. I, if it ever comes, you know, it will come, then I'll daven. That's not the way it comes. It comes when we daven. And if you ask children, little children, you tell them a story from a little children's book at night, and the next night, just before they go to sleep, and the next night you ask them, you show them three books, which one do you want? Most children will say the same, and the same, and the same. And you all live this, that when you go to a certain shul, and you like the way they sing, and you like the way they, you like it more than going to a new place. You go to a new place when you're a tourist or something, but you like to hear it again and again, and it goes into the heart. That's not for nothing that it's called Avodah Shebalev. It's not called Avodah Shebalips. It's called Avodah Shebalev, okay? So that's on the word Lehit Palel. The second thing which is so nice, we said it's not Avodah Shebalips, but it's still connected with the mouth, and we learn all those beautiful halachot from Chana, chapter 1 and 2 of Shmuel Aleph. And we have a pasuk in Tehillim where David HaMelech says, Va'ani Tfila. And we have another pasuk where it's one of the proofs that he's one of the three people that were the most humble in history. Avraham Avinu, who said, I am ashes and dust, dust and ashes. And David said, Ani tola'at velo ish. I'm like a worm, not like a person. That's not good. A minimum of self-esteem. Why would you say that you're like a worm? Say that you're not worth a lot, that everything you have is from Hashem. And Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, the third one who is the most, who said, Va'anachnu ma, he can't even say worm, he can't even say anything. It's not that he's nothing, it's that everything he has comes from Hashem. But in the case of David HaMelech, one pasuk va'ani tfila, another pasuk, ani tolad velo ish. We are just finishing Chanukah. Zot Chanukah is very important by Hasidim, by some people, like the last day, catch up, whatever you can. And the Greeks push away, but the Greeks had a way of philosophy that if A equals B and B equals C, then for sure A equals C. And that's why men and women, right, are man equals human being, woman equals human being. Therefore, man equals woman, of course, no? It's true that that's how they think in philosophy. That's called the philosophy, you know, of the Greeks. So if ani tfila and ani tolat velo ish, so tfila is tolat, right? If I'm a Greek. But not only if I'm a Greek, even if I'm a Jew. Because what's the power of a tolat, of a worm? It's smushy, it's nothing. But you know, when the Russian Aliyah came, at first they were not allowed, before the perestroika, they were not allowed to bring money, but they were allowed to bring stuff. So they would bring, for example, pianos. And people would buy very cheap pianos, and in a half a year the piano was in two, in pieces. And people didn't understand, but I paid money, because it was a long time in the boats, and it was full of worms. And a lot of worms, they were eating up the piano from inside. I have seen them. It's unbelievable. So the power of the worm is in its mouth, because the rest, it doesn't have power. That's why we need worms to move the ground. It's healthy for the ground, for things to grow and everything. But it's all with the mouth. It's not with the body. It's with the mouth. So the power of tefillah is in the mouth. So even though it has to go to the heart, but it begins with the mouth. And people that just read a little bit, I'm not going into halacha, that's for Rabbi Nissel. He wrote a very nice book, Rik Shelev, on it, especially for women. You get a few shocks, things that you don't expect, like that Birkot Birkot Shema are sometimes more important than the Shema itself, and all kinds of things. It's worthwhile reading. But Ani Tolat Velo Ish and Va'ani Tfila are not so much in contradiction. You get it? So it's a power of the word. You have to say the words. You say to your children, or your parents told you, if you want to learn your lesson, learn it Bekol Ram, loud, because you'll remember it better. You know, by just zapping, we're so used to zapping, and we don't remember. We just know we heard it once, but it's a pity. So it's the mouth and it's the heart. And once I heard this beautiful idea that a way not to say Lashon Hara is to realize that we are going to use the same part of the body, the mouth, to say Lashon Hara, Chas V'Shalom, and to daven. So it can't be because it's dirty and it's clean. So because you know you're going to have to daven with your mouth, it prevents you from saying the bad words or not to speak clean or whatever. Okay? So that's the second thing I wanted to say. And the third thing is Rav Avigdor Miller, in his Praise My Soul or something, it's a book on tefillah. It's very old-fashioned, you know. If you have children, you have to hit them, and all kinds of things are old. But he says marvelous things as well. And he says that the real chokhmah is to be close to Hashem. The real chokhmah, because when we are close to Hashem, we get clarity. And the way to get close to Hashem is by praying, because there is his connection with us, that's the Torah. Our connection with him, as you all know, is tefillah. Together, it's great. There is something. In Mishle, it says in a few places that tefillah can be to'eva. To'eva is when it's without realizing that you're davening to Hashem. What does it mean, you're realizing that you're davening to Hashem? If a person davens without thinking that he's davening to Hashem, then he's really, it's only one way, it's you. And the ego, the you, becomes the boss. You're davening, you want this and you want this, but you're not realizing what you're doing, that Hashem knows better what you need, etc. And this is called Avodah Zarah. That's why it's called in Mishle, To'eva. Okay? Chapter 26, verse 9 in Mishle. You can look at the Mefarshim for those that want to write. 26, 9. I looked especially the Pasuk. Because when you have a connection, when you have a communication one way only, so it's you, me, people that don't see besides their own, you know, circle of themselves. And that's Avodah Zarah a little bit. Why is a person who gets angry like Oved Avodah Zarah? Because it has to be my way, my, M-Y, you know what I mean? So, but Tfilah, which is a connection, a closeness, coming close to Hashem, this is a real Chochmah. Okay? I don't know how long I have, because I wanted to a little bit speak about the subject of Hoda'ah, just especially after Hanukkah, 5 minutes before I get to one after the other to the Birkot HaShachar. What? Yeah. What did she say? We spoke about Hanukkah being Hallel and Hoda'ah, right? Hoda'ah on the Nisim, and Hallel that we have to praise even more. The mitzvah of Hoda'ah, to thank, is double. I admit shenatatali. I admit that I was wrong. Yehuda, Hoda'a, same word, Yehuda. Yehuda said Tamar is more right than me. It's in Hebrew is she. And the second one I thank for, right? Animode she natatali. But not shenatatali just, but al shenatatali in Hebrew. In other words, I thank you for what you have done for me. Either I admit or I thank. And you cannot thank if you don't first admit that you got something from somebody. That's why those two words, modim, yeah, modim anachnu lach, she, you are HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you are Hashem. We are thanking you that you're Hashem. It's so great. We're, you know, Asher Bachar Banu Mikol HaAmim and all these things. It's unbelievable. Very, very nice. Modim She. And on the other hand, we have Al Nisecha, Al, on Yeah, and then we are thanking. First we admit and we hodat baldin, it's called in Hebrew. You have to recognize what you get and then you have to thank for it. But thanking without knowing that you have to thank for something doesn't mean a thing. Okay? So Nodelecha al chayenu ve'al ze, this is already for our, okay? So you cannot say thank you without first having the awareness that you got it from somebody. And that's why it says, v'chol achayim yodu chasela v'halelu et shimcha be'emet. And all living people will thank you and they will praise you. They will praise your name, Be'emet. So I looked at the commentaries, why Be'emet? What is Be'emet? Right? So it's only Be'emet when you first recognize and then you are aware, you recognize, and then when you say thank you from all your heart. Okay? So that, and why? V'chol ha'chaim? Because animals live as well, but it's not the same chaim. What makes us a holy life, what makes us life, is the purpose, which is tefillah. There are a lot of sources in this, but I'm not going to talk about all this now. If you look at the Ramban at the end of Parashat Bo, it's, if you look at the Sefer HaChinuch, if you look in a lot of books, the Kavana from Hashem of all the mitzvot, the purpose of existence, is to recognize and to thank Hashem. And if not, it's not called the same life. It's a life of an animal, but it's not the same life, okay? Al chayenu, ha-mesurim b'yadecha, we say, on our life which is in your hands. That's the biological side. Ve'al nish moteinu ha-pkudot lach, and our soul, this is like the spiritual life. Okay, so all the time both. Okay, this hoda'ah, this tefillah, gives us holiness and makes us into chayim, into real life. Okay, I heard, because I came in a minute late, I heard Zamira speaking about tefillah mitoch tzara. It's very, very interesting. I have to share with you a little story that you might have heard at the time. You have two types of tefillah. You have many more, but I want to 1 minute speak about tefillah mitoch tzara, when you are in the pain, and tefillah lifnei hatzara. Lifnei hatzara. Kedei shelo yeh tzara, that there shouldn't be a tzara. And Chazal says that before the tzara, the tefillah that you daven, that there should not be a tzara, we are just in this time where it's very worthwhile knowing this, is very, very powerful, has a lot of koach. There is a famous story, you know, on Rosh Hashanah, you have the letters of the psukim that make kra satan, that satan should be torn. So Rav Steinman, zichrono livracha, had a dream, and in the dream, the letters of kra satan were fire and were in the air. And he got very afraid of the dream, and the reish of kra satan was above the other letters and just like moving around. So he got up, he had just gone to sleep, and it was a night of Yom Kippur, so he should have rested. He got up and he went on foot to the stipler, and he knocked on his door and woke him up and told him his dream. And both of them spent the whole night, instead of sleeping, saying Tehillim, because he was so afraid of his dream. And the next day was the Yom Kippur War. It was that year that it was the Yom Kippur War. He had gotten some message, he hadn't pushed it away, he understood that there might be terrible things about to happen, so they both, you know, the Stipler and Rav Steinman, it's not bad, and they both said Tehillim the whole night. Who knows how much, we all know that the Yom Kippur War was very dangerous, everything is dangerous, we had gotten the wrong information, it was full of problems, and Egypt was almost there, everybody was almost there. By the way, everybody thinks that all the movements of Bali Tshuva were from the Six-Day War. It was much more even after the Yom Kippur War, because the army and those soldiers, they knew that the mess was even bigger. But this is the concept of tefillah lifnei hatzara. So that I wanted to tell you. And I want to tell you many more things, but I want to go over first to a little bit to soon the Birkot HaShachar. First of all, when Zamira asked me what is my specific subject, I wanted to say, I told her in the end, I don't know what she wrote, because in the end she wanted me to do something with a bit of text. So Birkot HaShachar is very nice, because even people that don't have time to daven, very often we say Birkot HaShachar. It's very, very nice. So we all know that the, for example, the Imahot, the matriarchs, they were barren. And the reason is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitavel et tfilatam shel tzadikim, because God desires their tfilah. God desires their tfilah. Okay? It's so interesting. There is a Malbim on Rachel and Leah. Vayar Hashem kisnua Leah. Hashem saw that Leah is less liked, whatever this means, by Yaakov Avinu. And therefore he opened her womb. And the Malbim speaks about a lot of things, but he says that the whole subject of tefillah is not a means to get what one wants. But the main thing that we all have to understand is that tzoros are a means to daven. Hashem wants to hear our voice. And this is the most important thing to understand about tefillah. And sometimes Hashem says yes, and sometimes he has better plans for us, and he says no. But tefillah is not a means. Tefillah is the end. This is the first thing that we have to understand. Okay? We have it in Adam HaRishon already. Who is the very first person that davened? Everybody says Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Shacharit, Mincha Arvit. But it's Adam HaRishon, right? Adam HaRishon, he saw that the world is static. So he understood that he has to daven. And Hashem wanted him to daven. It's very, very interesting, okay? Rashi says, Adam saw that Kilohim tears, that Hashem hadn't poured rain yet. And there are two ideas in this Rashi, that there was nobody to daven, right? That's why he made Adam HaRishon. And there was nobody to be makir tov, to have gratitude. So when Adam will daven, he will do those two things, okay? And when it when things that we get comes through tefillah, it's easier to have gratitude, because it makes it clearer what is the source, that it comes from Hashem. So very often it's worthwhile that Hashem doesn't give it a little bit. It's for our good, because then we'll daven and then we'll realize that it's from Hashem. And the purpose of the world is that we should recognize. So Baruch Hashem, it makes us close to Hashem, okay? Uparo hikriv in Beshalach, same idea. Paro hikriv, what does it mean Paro came close? Amongst other things, Rashi brings a midrash. Hikriv libam shel Yisrael l'avihem shebashamayim. By the fear that we heard the first 15 minutes, by the fear that they had, they davened. So Paro is the means with which Hashem made them daven, because he frightened them. Okay, this is very, very important. Okay? He brought them close to tshuva, it says in the Midrash Rabbah. The famous king, the famous story about a king that wants very much to marry a certain queen, a certain princess. He saves her from the ganavim, he saves her from the whatever, you know, danger. And then he wants to talk to him, to her, and she snobbish, you know. She doesn't talk to him. So you know what he does? He brings back the ganavim. And then she screams. And that's the pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Hashmini et kolech, ki kolech arev umarech nae. I want to hear your voice. Hashem wants us to daven. But what does it help? He has his plans. So what does it help? And that was really the subject as well, one of the titles that I proposed. What does it help? He has his plans for the world, and we daven. He's going to change his mind. Hashem changes his mind. He wants us to daven because through the davening we're becoming a different person. And once we are a different person, the plan is changed. Avraham Avinu before and Avraham Avinu and Avraham after. So by davening, he is kulo chesed, he's tov. Tov is the heat. If you're cold, do you put a coat on or you go next to the fire? It's even closer to go next to the fire. Hashem is that fire. You come close to the fire, you become warm. Hashem is the epitome of tov. You want good, you come close to him. How do you come close to him? He does things which are the means so that you should daven. When you daven, you get better things. Why? Because you are a changed person. It's as if you change your name. So you see, I did it very fast because I want to get to the text. But you understand, this is how it functions, okay? There are many, many psukim on this. I suggest you to read the last Ramban in Parashat Bo, chapter 13, verse 17, but we won't do it now. So now we go to Birkot HaShachar. Birkot HaShachar is very, very interesting. Rabbi Yehuda Levi says that the three davenings of the day, which are the morning, Shacharit, Mincha, and Arvit, in the Kuzari. He says that the whole day is really those three tefillot. These are like the diamonds of the day. And everything we do in the day are towards a tefillah. It's very, very interesting, okay? Because that's the purpose of the world. And the Sidur Yavetz, right, says that it's not by chance that the Birkot HaShachar were arranged to be in the morning and not at night. Because the morning is a time when we have koach, when we begin the day, when we want to do things, and it's very dangerous. So by saying the Birkot HaShachar, you realize that everything you're going to do on that day comes from Hashem's koach and not from you. At night, we're already tired, we're a bit paralyzed, we're enveloped by darkness. It's totally different. But in the morning, that's the time. And I'll give you an example. Thank you. And I'll give you an example. Sukkot is Chag HaAsif, the ingathering. Not bad. I got a lot of stuff. I'm a rich man. And therefore we read Kohelet, Hakol Hevel, nothing is worth, you don't have it from yourself. It comes and goes, you know, life shows, politics shows, anti-Semitism shows, everything shows, it's all from Hashem. So we begin the morning, and here Rav Avigdor Miller has that famous, it's very, very funny, he says that every Birkat HaShachar that you say, every one of those blessings, there are different types of blessings. There are blessings for bread, there are blessings for when you eat cake, there are blessings when you see a rainbow. But the Birkot HaShachar, speaking about all your what you have, your kohot, so you should realize that you should go through the whole system. I give you an example of the bread. You know, you should think about the person that is putting the seeds in the ground, and then it comes out, and then it takes out. And if you have 5 hours in front of you, do it. You can't do it, but you can know at least to think a little bit that it's not to be taken for granted. One morning you have pain in your knee and you can't walk and you say, why do you wait? Why do we wait to not be able to do something to appreciate it? Okay? So that's the Sidur Yavet. And Rav Shimshon Raphael here says it as well. He says that it's thank you Hashem for being again active. Okay? It comes from Hashem. The morning is Midat HaChesed, the evening is Midat HaDin, and it's the afternoon, the towards evening, which shows that it's Avraham that made it because he was Chesed, etc., etc. There are many, many explanations even to the order of the Birkot HaShachar and everything, but we have to try to speak down to earth. The Zohar speaks about, it connects the Birkot HaShachar to the four worlds, you know, Olam HaAsiya, the world of La'asot, to make, Olam HaYetzirah, formation, Olam HaBriya, ex nihilo, creation, and Olam HaAtzilut, which is already very, very high in heavens. So I don't want to speak about them, just the first thing, that the Birkot HaShachar Ar Olam Ha'asiya. We are about to begin the day to do, to get dressed and to eat breakfast and to go to wherever we have to go and. So it fits with Olam Ha'asiya. Okay? These are the needs of the person that wakes up, that gets out of bed, the activities of the day. It's a world of action. It's a material world. Okay? Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu. So Baruch comes from blessing. Blessing is not ex nihilo. It's from something to more. There is a little bit and to more. And that's why Bereshit is beginning with a bet. What's before, we don't know. Because all those people that say the world by itself, yeah, but the first. Children have the courage to ask. We don't have the courage to ask. So that's Baruch. Brecha. Brecha is a swimming pool. It's a source. That's why we always say that Baruch Ata Hashem is you are source of blessing Hashem. We're not blessing God. He is a source of all blessing from Brecha, right? The Gemara in Brachot already. And Berech is the knee, Birkaim. We have to bow down. Hishtachavaya. The Hishtachavaya, you know, the 13 breaches that the Greeks made in that wall which separates where a non-Jew is allowed to go till and then he doesn't go, where the Chachamim at that time, they said that in the temple you have to make 13 Hishtachavayot. Each one is like to annul that Koach Hatuma of the Greeks. Hishtachavaya means that you're totally letting Hashem be the boss. You're accepting it. You want it. This is what the tefillah is all about. Okay? And then we have the famous that Baruch Ata is in the second person. And afterwards, all the brachot continue in the third person. So many, many commentators have been given as well. Yeah? Some say, you know, you have a movement behind a curtain. So you say, whoever you are, he should get out. Yeah, you begin with you and you finish with he. Okay, but there is deeper. There is the second person is the hashgacha of each person, you personally. And the third person, we recognize it is melech ha'olam, the source of all kochot, the strongest, etc., etc. So in every bracha, there are two levels. There are two levels, okay? I'm skipping things which are extremely beautiful. We could spend a long time on Asher Yatzar. First of all, on Al Netilat Yadayim. That's the concept of Kedusha, Tuma and Kedusha, okay? And Asher Yatzar is a subject in itself, a shiur in itself. And the beautiful one, which is, Elokai Neshama Shenatata Bitehora. I just want to tell you that this is very important. A Jew does not believe in anybody being, any Jew being dirty. Rav Eli Munk, in his World of Prayer, says it's to push away the concept of the original sin. We all have a neshama which is untouchable, which is clean. And that's why the pinteleid, you know, the little bit of a Jew, we have people that look so far and in seconds they can come back. Because Elokai Neshama Shenatata Bitehora. We have the Birkot HaShachar, which are very important for women as well, especially in a world like today, especially in an OU, look at this. So we have to say Birkot HaShachar. We can't just learn Torah without saying them. We can't express, we can think in Torah, but we can't express Torah without having done the Birkot HaShachar. Without the Birkot HaTorah. I said Birkot HaShachar, it's Birkot HaTorah. Which are very, very beautiful. In the Birkot HaTorah, we have V'ha'arevna Hashem Elokeinu et divrei Torah. We want Hashem to help us feel the sweetness. Arev means kolech arev, your voice is sweet. Arev is erev, the evening. Evening is not sharp black, and it's not the sun in the morning too strong, but it's a mixture, it's soft. It's sweet. Your voice is sweet. We have this beautiful idea that we want the Divrei Torah to be Arev. When you teach children, you have to teach the teachers this. Who cares how many pages exactly? Make it be loved by the children. V'harevna. Because if it's loved, they will continue. That's what it is. Ve'harev et divrei Torah, right? And then we should learn Torah Lishma. Oh, yalevai, but we do a little bit. I mean, nobody here is planning on making Parnassah out of this shiur, so it's already Lashem Shamayim. And then it's very, very interesting. Hamelamed Torah le'amo Yisrael. Hashem is teaching us Torah. The world is a teaching. If you open your eyes, if you wear the right glasses, everything that happens in the world is, Rav Volbe says, we have to learn from every person, it says in Pirkei Avot. So in Al Eshur, he has a whole thing, not just from people you have to learn. You have to learn from actions, from things, from trees, from the way the world is made, from the, okay? So he's teaching us by the world we have, okay? Then you know that there is, immediately after the Birkot HaTorah, in case it's Erev Pesach, and you don't exactly have time to come to a shiur, right? So you have one pasuk of Torah in Naso, the Birkat Kohanim, Naso in Bamidbar. You have a piece of Mishnah and even a piece of Gemara, right? Even women. Okay? Can you imagine? Okay. And then we begin. Baruch Ata, you have it on the other side. Because we want to do a little bit of text. It's so fantastic. Okay? Okay? Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. Everybody understands, huh? You're a source of blessing. Hashem, Elokeinu, both. Sometimes you behave this way, that way. It's a complicated affair. Melech HaOlam, King of the World. We once had a Baal Tshuva in our house. And my children, who are today parents of children themselves, they remember this man, Adayom. He was making every bracha really 5 minutes. And he was saying, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu, Melech, and he would scream Melech HaOlam. And I asked him, why you scream? You're waking up the whole shchuna. And he said, to feel that he's a Melech. I was jealous of his madrega, you know, but Melech. So we have to realize when Shlomo HaMelech had all this beauty and all those things, it says that Malchuta, that the kingdom of down is only to help us imagine the kingdom of up. And it's not by chance that today you go in bathing suit or in jeans to the president, because there is no more kavod, right? There is no more kavod. We're closer to Mashiach, don't worry. Chutzpah yazge. There will be more chutzpah, there will be closer to Mashiach. So this is beautiful. But you understand, this is Melech HaOlam. Asher Natan la Sechvi Vina, who gave to the Sechvi. So some people say it means a human being. Some people say it means the rooster. Okay? And it comes from a pasuk in Iov, where it refers to a rooster. Lehafrin ben yom uven laila, to know the difference between day and night. Now, you know, you're in a train, you're in a plane, and you're davening. And the guy next to you asks, what are you doing? It's interesting. He's open to listen, to hear. And you're in the middle of this bracha. He says, could you show me what you just said? And he said, we're thanking Hashem, right, who gave the rooster the ability to know the difference between day and night. And he looks at you as if he's going to open a few more mental assignments. Because what's going on? Do you know that the rooster, another thing, Bina, why not Chochma? Why Bina? Because lehafrin, to know the difference. You know that the rooster makes his cocorico a little bit before dawn, a little bit before dawn. He knows it before. He senses it before. This is an unbelievable matana. And because it's a rooster, it's as well the human being, and etc., etc. That's why Bina, you know, mevin davar, mitoch davar, he understands something, the intuition of a woman, you sense that something is going to happen. And why a rooster is used, because you remember when there were tsunamis, so you know that the animals went deep into the land. They sensed before that there is going to be, once the tsunami is there, it's too late to run away. They knew before. So you use, they have a sixth sense, they have certain senses that it's fascinating. So it's a very, very beautiful bracha, okay? And you have, you know, atachonen le'adam dat, and the bracha afterwards, you give a person dat, and the bracha after in the Amidah in the Shmona Esrei is Havdalah, right? And im en da'at Havdalah minayin, it goes both ways. Im en Havdalah, there is no da'at. There is no koach, power of differentiating. Okay, so this is the beginning always, the same thing almost in Shmona Esrei, that in order to, that's by the way why somebody who doesn't have a brain, Chas v'Shalom, he's patur min ha-mitzvot, because he can't differentiate. And you should know this koach of differentiating and of analyzing is so important, because the human condition from the time of Etz Hadaat, that he ate a little bit, he shouldn't have, Etz Hadaat Tov Ra. Before Tov Ra, free choice, but Tov Ra. Afterwards, mingled together, because the tree has both parts, and he ate the tree, the fruit or whatever, which means that we are all mixed up. You don't have a rasha that doesn't have a little point of tov, and you don't have a tov, en lecha tzadik ba'aretz asher yaaseh tov velo yecheta. Nobody is perfect. You know, sometimes somebody wants to attack me. Yeah, you know, you're religious, you know, but you know, you don't do it. You do it because it's your job, or you do it because it's the opium that keeps you going, or you do it because. Don't worry. Okay, could be. Could be a little bit of what you say is right. 5%, 10%, 20%. But do the same. Bevakasha. He won't do not the same and not the quarter and not nothing. Now, so don't feel bad. We're not 100%. Nobody is 100%. From the time of Etz Hadaat, because that's human condition. So Havdalah is the biggest present we can get. And the Sechvi is the symbolism of this. Okay? Shelo asani goy, shelo asani aved, veshe asani kirtono, o shelo asani isha. Okay? So we have, here we have religion, social position, and sex. Okay? And this is the Levush that says this. To tell you that they are all determined by Hashem. I wanted so much to be born in the 18th century and to be part of, you know, the kings like Sisi, the emperor, etc. You know why I wanted to be born in the 18th century? Because it was on fashion to be a bit fat. So I would have been beautiful, right? But I'm not, right? And not only this, but, you know, some people, they would have preferred to be a cat. It's so cute, it's so, you know, it cuddles, and not. Those things are determined by Hashem. Our free choice is limited, but it's very big. We have a lot of free choice every moment, but it's limited. So that's the Levush. Levush, a very famous commentary, who says that those things, those three things, whether you're Jew or not, you can become a Jew. That's another story. But Goy, Aved, and Shelo Asani Isha, or Shelo Asani Kirtzono, is determined by Hashem. Okay, now the famous question, I'm not going to go into the feminism and why we are not Shelo Asani Isha and Sheasani Kirtzono. It's, I agree, but another time when we have an hour in front of us. But why isn't it written Sheasani Yehudi, Sheasani Ish, Sheasani Ben Chorin? That's the famous question that everybody asks, okay? So some say because it's softer. Shasani Yehudi sounds like Gava. Shelo Asani Goy, you know, I'm happy that I have my... So I don't like so much this commentary. It exists. The commentary exists because I feel the opposite. Shelo Asani Goy, you know, I feel the opposite. That Shasani Yehudi, thank you Hashem, you know, etc., etc. Okay? But the main idea is because you have more obligations. So you have more obligations. By being a Yehudi, you have 613 instead of 7. By being a man, you have more. Not that the woman is missing anything because she doesn't need what she doesn't have, but etc., etc. Okay? And then you have Pokeach Ivrim, who opens the eyes. I don't know if you're like me, but now with age, in the morning, at first, I don't see so well. It takes me a few minutes to really see perfectly, and I think to myself, unbelievable. There are so many, so many stories about... There is a film. I have to stop already? No, huh? Couple of minutes, huh? Chaval, huh? Yeah. A little bit, huh? I told the story perhaps already, but I had guests. who got married 6 months before. She has to give birth any day. She's blind from birth. I'm so happy. She has a lot of courage. And she married somebody who's brilliant, but very crippled. And he looks smaller than her and distorted, but a wonderful person. And my two granddaughters, 7, 8 years old, were asking me quietly, does she know how he looks? And I didn't feel like saying she can, you know, check him, she can touch him or whatever I did. So I said, you give me an answer, go for a walk and you give me an answer. And they came back 10 minutes later with that marvelous answer for little girls who learn Torah. I'm telling you, we are ashamed in front of our children, we learn from them. And they said to me, when you don't see, you see better. I can't believe it. Maximum 8 years old. I can't believe it. Because Pokeach Ivrim, of course, thank you Hashem for seeing. There is a famous story about two guys finish their job and one is in the middle of trying to commit suicide. So the other one is stopping him. He says, Baruch Hashem, you have a wife, she wants to divorce. Baruch Hashem, you have a job, they just finished, they threw me. Baruch Hashem, whatever, everything was going wrong. They closed his bank account and everything. Imagine that you would be blind. And now they're telling you something unbelievable. They're telling you that they can make an operation and you'll see. Would you want to come and see? He said, no. I'd want to see. I never saw. So, idiots that you are, you see. We don't realize, you know, they have all those beautiful stories. And the other one is the famous mashal of Rav Yerucham from the Mir, the famous mashgiach, who said that a person was proposed to get an operation, he was blind, that he's going to see for 24 hours and then again he won't see. And does he want to, who wants to volunteer to have the operation? One person got the operation and he saw for 24 hours and life was never the same afterwards. Not only this, they made him leader of all the blind people and everything. And the nimshal of, opposite of mashal, of Rav Yerucham was that Kriyat Yam Suf, Yetziat Mitzrayim, Matan Torah, all those unbelievable nisim that made you see the voices and hear the beauty and hear the colors and everything to such a point, Tishtush of the senses, makes you realize that if you try to remember miracles that you lived once, then you realize that every moment is a miracle and your faith is so much stronger. So do this, an exercise of half a minute before davening, and it's a totally different davening. I like this mashal. So of course, Pokeach Ivrim means he opens our eyes. On a deeper level, he opens our eyes that we understand things. And on another level, all the things that I said, you see better when you, you know, you're telling me something, you're explaining me something. And I say, I see. Right? I see. Okay? So, which means that seeing is on a deeper level. Malbish Arumim. So I read, I couldn't believe, I don't know if you know about it, but when I was reading a lot of things about Hanukkah, I did not know that gymnasium comes from gymnos in Greek, which means naked. I was shocked. We're using it all the time. We are so vergoished. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Because they used to do, the Greeks used to do all the gym, and gym comes from that, naked, you know, the body and everything, okay? Malbish Arumim, from the time of Adam Arishon after the Chet, it's a great thing, Malbish Arumim. We're going to have the shoes separate from this. It's unbelievable. So we could speak about Malbish Arumim for an hour, but I want just to give you a taste of Matir Asurim, doesn't only mean, but nowadays we know, we live in Israel and everything, Matir Asurim to release the bound, meaning from prison and from all those things. I have some of my children that are involved in such things. It's unbelievable. People who are in prison, either by mistake or that you have to try to get. It's unbelievable. Or Chas V'Shalom, even by the enemy or something. So we can have a lot of kavana, much easier than 50 years ago in the stay after the Holocaust. You know, things looked so beautiful. The whole world wanted to show that they are nice people. So Matir Asurim. But on a deeper level, we are prisoners of our tavot, of our desires. We are prisoners of our yetzer hara. We are prisoners of all the things that we are that we are compulsively doing. So Matir Asurim, we ask Hashem to help us get rid a little bit of this yetzer hara, get rid of those chains that keep us, okay? Zokef kefufim. I don't know about you, but I have pain in my back lately. And Zokef Kefufim is very serious, eh? Okay? That a human being is straight and not like that. You see, we see so many people, you know, going, thank you, Hashem, for the years that you give me. If you don't give it anymore, I'm still totally alive and totally happy. But for the years that you're giving to me, Zokef Kefufim, by the way, on a deeper level, a Jew should be proud to be a Jew, and not like the Hellenists who were ashamed to be Jewish, so they tried to be part of the rest of the world. Roka ha'aretz ala mayim. That's very, very interesting. Roka, I saw beautiful things. I, even from the point of, if you throw something, it goes like that. Gravity and all these things. It's pretty. Everything is on water. So how does it function? Hashem must have put... Look at Yerushalayim. All the time I think to myself, when is it going to break? When is it going to crack? We know that the earth is something moving and something round, and there are other things under, and the whole thing is 70% is water. And still, you know, we have a feeling of stability. Roka ha'aretz al ha'mayim. It's a miracle. We don't think of it. Yeah, it's because and yens and dus and everything, but it's not true. Roka ha'aretz al ha'mayim. She'asa li kol tzorki. You all know that this is when we think about it when we put our shoes on. Once Rabbi Nissel, who is going to come to give a shiur because he wrote a book on Tfilah, he spoke about the importance of shoes, and he said that during the Shoah, the most precious thing that a person had was his shoes. He would sleep on his, instead of a cushion, he would sleep on his shoes, because without shoes, you die. Because there were marches which were so, so in the cold and in the heart and everything. But I want to tell you that in the army, I asked the most expensive part of the uniform. From far, the shoes are more expensive than all the rest together. In other words, why? Because the shoes represent stability. Now, we have, for example, in Perek Gimel Pasuk Hei of Shemot, we have the famous thing that Moshe Rabbeinu Asurana Ve'er'e. So he sees those beautiful... he sees the bush, and it's not burning. It's burning, but not consuming itself. And he hears Hashem telling him to take off his shoes. So some say, you know, anava, because stability makes you feel that you don't need anybody. Kochi ve'otzem yadi asal yetachayla, that it was my own power. So you take off the shoes. Or, because the part where he was a shoe separates between the earth, amharetz, and the rest. It's fantastic. And again, it makes you, the animal usually he has natural, but he doesn't have shoes usually. And the person has always shoes besides when they go to the temple, because they are too, like Moshe, in a place which is Kadosh and everything. Yoshua takes off only one shoe, if you remember. And it's very, very interesting, all these things connected with the shoe. Halachically, if you don't have money for anything, you should still spend money for your shoes. Mummies, remember that even when they were getting clothes from cousins and everything, a lot of mummies don't want the shoes we buy new, because the children have to have a good stability and everything, right? So we have a lot of the shoes. That's She'asali Kol Tzorki. There is another level of She'asali Kol Tzorki, who did all my needs. A person should believe that whatever he needs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him. This is a secret of not being jealous. Why should I be jealous of your glasses? I won't see a thing with them, because I have different eyes, okay? So, but this is not just for glasses. It's even for your jewelry, because if Hashem didn't give it to me, gave it to you. I mean, he doesn't give it like that way. You understand what I'm saying? So, She'asali Kol Tzorki is the belief that whatever we have is what we need. Yaakov Avinu said, Yesh li kol. I like it very much, because it's a different level, and it's really the key to be happy with one's lot. Yeah, he has everything. Esav has a lot. Yeah, so a lot means you want more. But kol, everything, okay? Hamechin mitzadeh gaver. We have, he prepares the steps of the person. You know, you have the idea that shomer ta'im Hashem, ragle chasidav yishmor. Chana said it in her shira, in her thank you for Shmuel. Ragle, you're planning to go to the wrong place, and Baruch Hashem, you're used to, so you go to the right place. Hashem send you to the right place. All these brachot are connected with Hashgacha Pratit. And thank you, Hashem, for looking at me specifically. You have billions of people. How do you have the time? Because you're above time. So it doesn't, okay? Ozer Yisrael Bigvura is a subject of strength. All the strength we have is from Hashem, but Ozer Yisrael Bigvura is the belt. If you remember the four clothes of the Kohen Hediot and the eight clothes of the Kohen Gadol, Parashat Tetzaveh mainly, and then it goes back later on, but in Shemot, and you have the clothes of the high priest. And those clothes mean much more than teaching seamstress. In Gemara Erchin, page Tetzain, for those that want to be, we know Gemara. So you have the, every one of them is, the people have to have the kavana that they are a tikkun, they are a kapara, an atonement for some sins of Klal Yisrael. Right, so of course the mirnasaim are for all the things connected with not being okay in Gilui Arayot. But in the avnet, the belt, which by the way, the measurements of the avnet is 32 like lev, is to separate the higher part of the body and the lower part of the body. And the idea is, you know what it is mechaper on? What is a belt mechaper on? Mechaper means atoning for. Okay, the kutonet is atoning for something very strange, for shfichut damim, because of the story of Yosef, right? The tzitz, you know, kadosh l'Hashem, for a type of ga'ava, and the mitznefet or mikbat as well for a different type of, I'm not going now, it's a beautiful subject to understand those clothes. They are not just to know the details of clothes, if not they wouldn't be written in the Torah. But what is the belt, which is 32 amot, like the gartel? What's the gartel of the Hasidim? It's to separate, and you know what the atonement? The atonement is hirhure alev, false marshavot, false thoughts. Because the person nobody knows, matzpun, you know, means tzafun, it's hidden. You can look like you're a great person, and inside you have all kinds of faults. So you separate the part which is divine and the part which is like all animals. You know, we eat like animals, we go to the bathroom like animals, we procreate like animals, but we are different because we have an neshama, so everything becomes different. But we still have to know the difference. And here, hure halev, the thoughts of the heart, like lev, like the measurement, this is the atonement of the belt. So here we have much deeper than just thank you Hashem for giving me a belt. You know that a man is not allowed to daven if he doesn't have a separation. If he has a jalabiyeh, long, but nothing under, he can't daven. He has to have either an underwear which has an elastic, or he has to have a belt. He has to have, not just covered, it has to be separated. A woman not, she doesn't have to. If she has a knife down, she doesn't need anything else, because she's on a much higher level in this sense of bad thoughts. Interesting, huh? But there's nothing to do. Just telling you a bonus. Ozer Yisrael Bigvura, yeah? And then Oter Yisrael Betifara, the happiness to be a Jew. The happiness to be a Jew, and Hanoten Layaev Koach, when we don't have Koach anymore. So Noten Layaev Koach, I saw by Rav Shimon Schwab, he brings commentaries that say so beautiful that the Galut is so long. Without the help, like it says, and the Gaon Mivilna speaks about it, that without Ilmale Ozro lo yacholo, if Hashem wouldn't help, we would not manage to go against the Yetzer Hara. It's too strong. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, never a chofesh, never a holiday, impossible. In the same way, if Hashem wouldn't give to the Ayef Koach, there is a pshat, of course, as well, but if Hashem would not give us Koach, this long exile, we thought it's the last one. You know, you think it's the first time, we thought that it's the last time. We had the Inquisition, and we had the Cossacks, and we had the Crusades before. The Crusades, we had Crusades, Inquisition, Chmelnytsky, Shoah. When Hashem, you know, we want Mashiach now, whatever, that's not the way to do it, but we have to do something about it. But it's true as well. So I'm not in La Yaev Koach. And then we have the last one, which is so nice, but I think we're going to stop. I'll leave you on your hunger. And when we learn again, I'll tell you, Amavir Shena Me'enai. Okay? Huh? 1 minute. I was davening to Hashem, you know, for a change. I'm not a specialist on davening, I promise you. But alevai, I would be, I said amen quietly when you said it. But to find the right subject that speaks to us. And when we began learning the Tomer Dvora, written by Rav Moshe Cordovero, who is a teacher of the Arizal, he was older. They had two different ways to understand Kabbalah. They were in Tzfat, but the Arizal was only toward the end in Tzfat. And the Ramak, Rav Moshe Cordovero, was a big Kabbalist and everything, but in his book, Tomer Dvora, whatever the reason I explain it, the first chapter is Mamash taking the 13 midot of Rachamim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and analyzing them practically and telling a person that the mitzvah of V'halachta Bidrachav, to go in his ways, is to imitate him as much as we can imitate Hashem. The way he behaves, we learn from it how to behave. And it's extremely speaking to the heart. And my tefillah was answered because it's a subject that whoever learns, those that are in the shiur, they like it very much because it's changing our life. It's a question of we were speaking this morning, it was a question of siyata dishmai, of mazal. You can choose the right subject around. This spoke very much to all of us. So,